I do this for my culture, 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 culture. Culture, right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in and riding with me, folks. All right, folks, we're going to get into a very, very interesting topic. We actually kind of had a conversation a little bit about this the last time, just a couple of days ago, but now we're starting to see this trend. I think we can be able to call this a trend that we're starting to see right now. Here's the situation. A Florida Taco Bell employee was fired because she refused to serve a customer who didn't speak Spanish. A Florida Taco Bell, I just want you to marinate over this. A Florida Taco Bell employee was fired after she refused to serve a customer who didn't speak Spanish. Yeah. This is a situation that came up because of course, we're living in the age of social media. A social media video surfaced of the employee and the customer. Now, the customer, her name is Alexandria Montgomery, posted a three-minute video of the encounter on her Facebook page, and it has been viewed more than 300,000 times. We're going to pull up this video in a few moments to let you hear from it. But apparently, the Taco Bell that this customer went to, it is a Taco Bell in Hialeah, Florida. And apparently in Hialeah, Florida, it is a very, very, it has a large contingent, a large Spanish-speaking population down in Hialeah, Florida. Taco Bell confirmed that the employee no longer works at the restaurant. According to their official statement, they said, quote, "This does not meet our customer experience expectations. We have worked quickly to resolve with the customer to ensure this doesn't happen again." Now, here's the thing about this that I think is very interesting. Remember the last time, just a few days ago, we talked about the sister who refused to serve police officers from her food truck because of her personal politics about law enforcement and all of that good stuff, right? Now we're at this new place. Now we have this situation where a Taco Bell, which is an established institution, an employee, not the actual institution, but an employee is saying essentially that, look, making the decision at the window. And I want you to imagine that. Just imagine. Just take this ride with me. You hungry for some chalupas. You hungry. You want that chalupa. You want that that special meat that Taco Bell provides, right? They give you that very special meat, the special sauce, right? The special, what do we say, taco shells, right? That special cheese. Imagine that, right? And you like, oh, man, you just come in, it's Friday. You're like, ah, I'm about to get me the bell. I'm about to get me the Taco Bell. Ah, man, I can't wait to pull up to this drive-thru and get me some Taco Bell in Florida. Ooh, this is going to be good. Boom, imagine that. Then all of a sudden, you're being told, se habla en español. Next thing you know, you're like, no, I don't speak Spanish. I don't se habla inglés. Like, oh, yeah, I speak English. We can't take your order. I mean, it's just that flat. Just like, boom, we cannot take your order. I'm so sorry, but your order will not be taken today. Now, this opens up the door, right? Because I think some of you had even expressed when we talked about the sister who refused to serve police officers that she has a right to do that, right? And I think so because I think that you had that type of view because it was a food truck. But when it's an established institution, when it's like a franchise restaurant, a franchise business like Taco Bell, you know, it's like you're going up to KFC or Popeyes. And guess what? You don't speak like a Southerner. You're going up to Popeyes. You from New Orleans? No. Boom. Keep it going. And then you go up to KFC and you're like, boom. No. But imagine you going to an established franchise and they refusing to not serve you. That's the thing. The thing is that it's the door of us making or having the power to decide when we can or when we can serve people, you know, which customers are worthy of our service, you know, and which customers aren't worthy. At an established restaurant franchise like Taco Bell, that's the thing. That's the thing that gets me going. So when we talk about this, I want us to have this understanding that this is America, folks. This is America. I want to play for you what this whole interaction that Miss Alexandria Montgomery posted on her Facebook page. Check this out.
You don't have a manager here?
She's trying
me
now, Omar.
She's trying me on purpose. You see this?
Yeah.
Right. Ma'am, so no.
New house.
Nobody here speak English. Nobody in the back speak English.
No.
So you can't take my order. You won't understand what I'm saying? But you speak something, though. Yeah, but I'm want to order food.
No, hay nadie que hable inglés.
Yo.
Mi vida. Tengo carro atrás.
No, I want to order. You not finna tell me to leave and I want to order. Well, the line gonna be held up because I want to order. And you telling me... Well, they won't get their food because I want to order.
Wow. That was Alexandria Montgomery just trying to order a taco from the Halea Taco Bell, where she was refused because she simply did not speak Spanish. Here's the crazy part, folks. Montgomery says she lived in a town her entire life and that the interaction made her feel like she didn't belong here. The other thing is, in the course of that exchange between her and the employee, that the employee said that no one in the restaurant spoke English and that Alexandria pointed out that the store is located in Halea. Well, I'm sorry, the employee mentioned that. Hey, the store is in Halea, Florida. And Alexandria said, that doesn't mean nothing because this is Halea. This is America. Now, look, as we have this conversation, I mean, as there's certainly some wild moments of this conversation, right? But I don't think this is a conversation that we should just kind of make fun of, because the fact is that now the level of tolerance in this country is starting to peak, right? Where now people are saying, no, I don't want to serve you for this reason or that reason. What happened to just customer service? What happened to just trying to get something to eat? What happened to all of that? And how does a restaurant that's not technically a real, I'm not going to say it's not. Taco Bell wasn't founded by Mexicans. So how does that happen? How are you able to have a restaurant where apparently, according to this fired employee, where no one speaks English, even though the restaurant is located in Florida? So many questions I got about this situation. So many questions. But I want to hear your thoughts. 410-319-8888 is the number. I'm really thinking about how do we get past the prejudice and the bias to become more tolerant, especially when it comes to moments like this, right? Because now, as you can see, this is not just black people, not just white people, not just Mexicans. This has affected everybody. So now, does this open the door? Does this set a precedent for us to be rejected basic service because we don't look like the person that serves us, speak like the person that serves us, or fit in the personal politics of the person at service? Give me a call, 410-319-8888. We're also broadcasting live on our Facebook page at FortaCulture889, also on my personal Facebook page at Faraji Muhammad. Post your comments. We'll get to your comments. So much I need to talk to you about this. So stay riding with me. A whole lot coming up at this first hour of For the Culture right here on your source for cool jags and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to For the Culture right here on WEAA. Tonight we're talking about how a Florida Taco Bell employee was fired after she wouldn't serve a customer who didn't speak English. But it opens up another can. It opens up a bigger taco. Pardon the pun. No, that didn't make sense. Anyway, the point is, it opens up another conversation about tolerance in this country, right? That now do folks have the right to not serve you because of the way you look, or because you don't speak the way they speak, or you don't believe the way they believe? Does this give the person the right? Taco Bell said no, it does not give them the right. Therefore, they fired the employee who made such a decision. But considering that we're starting to see more and more cases where people are being refused service, basic service, nothing crazy, from food to drinks to clothing, because they don't apply or they don't fit into the personal politics of the person that's serving them, this is becoming an issue. And again, this is an open conversation. However, we want to be respectful in this conversation. This is just not a race conversation or ethnicity, a conversation based on ethnicity. I think there's some deeper levels here. And it's not just as easy as us versus them. I think that's too easy, folks. Let's not get into that space. Well, it's us versus them. We need to open up our own Taco Bell. Okay, we could. Yeah. But this is not an us versus them. Taco Bell fired the employee. And so they are not condoning the behavior. If they didn't fire the employee, it would have been one thing. But they fired the employee. But I really see this as being an issue of tolerance across the board. I may be wrong, so you check me if I am. But let me know what your thoughts are. 410-319-8888. All right, folks, want to check in. Gene from Pikesville is going to kick us off tonight. Gene, thank you so much, sir, for checking in. What's your take on this, Gene?
Well, she should be fired. She was incompetent, and she was not trained well. It's a training issue. She took on a little more power than she should have. And, you know, she stepped out of line. She should have been fired. That's my personal opinion, you know, on her as being a former business owner, manager, I would have fired her. But you've been to Nuevo York, right?
Where?
Nuevo York.
Nuevo York.
Yeah.
Yeah.
New York City.
Yeah.
Okay, the Bronx.
Yep.
Okay, you've been in the Bronx, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're in a foreign country, right? For the most part. My point is that in the Bronx, there are a lot of Spanish people, but you know, Hispanic people, man, is like some of them who were born here can't speak Spanish.
Right.
So, you know, so it's twisted. And you said, how did you pronounce the city in Florida?
It's Hialeah, Florida.
It's Hialeah.
Hialeah.
Hialeah, yeah, because it's got a big racetrack down there.
Mm.
So, but it is, you know, a predominantly Hispanic, you know, area now, and they speak Spanish. So I can see how it happened, but it should not have happened.
And so, Gene, I mean, considering that, this really opens up the door about tolerance, I'm seeing. Am I wrong in thinking that?
Explain what you mean by
that. Are we getting to this point now in this country that if we work for a food establishment, that we can make the decision to decide whether we're going to choose somebody or not? Just like the food truck conversation we had a few days ago, people were saying, oh, well, you know, she has every right to make that decision.
Yeah.
I don't think that's the case in this. Unless a customer disrespects you.
But put the shoe on the other foot. So, okay, so you we go into, what would the other foot be? We own the store.
Yeah.
And some people who just get, just getting here from Guatemala.
Yeah.
And my sister and I were out the other day, and my sister was just being polite. You know, I'm blind. I got my cane. So my sister, we always fighting over the door, who's supposed to get the door and that kind of stuff, right? And so these as she described them, these very handsome little guys were just standing there because they didn't know what the protocol was, how you. So they did it, sort of stood there, but she was holding the door for the guys, and they just didn't know what to do. And it was a little awkward situation, but she smiled and was polite, and then they smiled back. They felt a little comfortable. So in these situations, when we own the store and they come in and they're just getting here from another country, we are obligated to make them feel welcome, aren't we?
Yeah.
Shouldn't we do that? I mean, just out of just politeness.
That's what I would think.
I don't think that we should be. You know, where are these little ignorant people coming from?
Right,
they don't
right,
know what
right,
they're
right.
That's horrible, man. Because I lived in Thailand for a year, and the most gracious people in the world, believe you me, is like my attitude took me so far being there.
Yeah.
That they could appreciate me just being a kind and gentle person, and they were reciprocal. Sometimes that's all it takes. Is like I don't get the intolerance of people under any circumstances. I don't care who is the person who has the power position.
You're right, Gene from Pikesville. Thank you for dropping some wisdom at the beginning of this conversation. I don't get the intolerance of people either. You just want a taco. That's it. Just want some taco with some special meat. Come on. All right, Clarence from Northwest Baltimore. Talk to me, sir. What's your take on this?
Hey, Faraji, I'm curious about a couple of things here. First of all, was that a franchise Taco Bell store? Because they don't have any corporate-owned Taco Bells. All of them are franchise.
They're franchise.
Right. Okay, so, you know, one, she got a job. What was the employment application in Spanish also?
I don't know. That's a good question. Well,
you get my drift.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, so there's something deeper. You got to dig. We got to go below the surface on this one.
Absolutely.
Number one is a franchise store, and how did she get the job if she didn't understand English in the first place?
Yeah.
So, you know, there's something underlying beneath the surface there as far as that store, its owners, and why she was there in that position, as inadequate as her, you know, her verbal skills were in English to serve the public.
Yeah, I mean, okay. But here's the thing, Clarence. She said no one in the restaurant spoke English.
Then that's what I'm saying. You know, they open it. Is that a franchise store?
No, but I mean, even if you are in a high Spanish-speaking community, right, that doesn't give you the right to deny service to somebody that speaks English.
But this is what I'm saying.
Spanish.
How can you open a store in America where no one in the store, especially a fast food
restaurant? Well, we see that all the time. We see that all on Twitter. Yeah, I mean, there are moments, there are places like that, right? But I mean, here's the thing, because I think the part of the conversation is going to go into immigration, right? But more importantly, but the other part of it is how do we coexist with one another? Given that, like, there are some folks who have the sentiment, and I'm sure you know this, Clarence, who say if you move to America, you came to America, you should learn the ways of this country. And some folks say, no, I think you should be you should hold on to your traditions and to your rituals, and then you establish a community in America. So it's like,
Faraji, those are our best hopes. Those are our best hopes.
Good point.
That's not what exists out here. This is a doggy-doggy, us against them. I mean, I that's not me spiritually, because, you know, I don't really care about where you come from or who you are. I'm just interested in who you are as an individual.
You're right.
But this has become a fight for economic resources and materialism in this country, and it's based on racial and ethnic lines. That's
what it is.
Obvious thing. Yeah, we can't get away from that. We don't have to like it and agree with it, but you have to stand your ground, otherwise you'll get ran over.
I agree. Hey, Clarence, always.
Thanks for taking.
Absolutely. Clarence, always good to hear from you, Northwest Baltimore. Let's go to Jordan out of Morgan. Jordan's here on campus at Morgan State University. Jordan, talk to me. What's your take, sir?
Hey, I'm on the way to class right now.
Oh, okay, Jordan.
Say
thank
that
you.
I have been to Hialeah, and it is like 10 minutes outside of Miami.
Okay.
So just to put things into context, and I didn't see the video, but listening to him, what you were saying, the woman was understanding what she was saying because she was answering her in Spanish.
Yeah.
So whether or not, I mean, I don't know. I know that most drive-thru places have boards up. You could say number one. I mean, basic English and basic Spanish. Most people understand that. So I don't know. Maybe she was having a bad day.
Yeah.
Didn't want to be bothered. But there was not really so much of a language barrier after hearing the tape that you played. So
real quick, Jordan.
I got to go.
All right. I appreciate you so much. Thank you so much for checking in as you go to class. That's what I'm talking about. I love people that do. Hey, Faraji, I'm on my way to class, but I had to jump into the conversation. Love it. All right, when we come back, Apache, Troy, Derek, and Leo, I'm going to get to you. Got some folks checking in on our Facebook page that want to share their thoughts as well about this situation. I'm just a couple of things come to mind. Tolerance, right? Are we becoming more intolerant as a country, as citizens, where we can now make certain decisions about who is being served and who should get our attention and versus others? We're gonna talk about that. I got to talk about this us versus them mentality. I'm telling you, this might be the death of America, folks. When you see yourself as just part of one group versus understanding that you live with other people. Okay? And then we got to talk about diversity. How do you go through, or how do you make the decision, I'm just going to establish my thing right here? Like, if you want to establish your own community, your own infrastructure for your community, right? You can't do it from the platform of someone else. I mean, am I wrong? We're going to get to your comments and share your thoughts about this. So stay riding with me. A whole lot coming up in the next half hour of For the Culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely. The voice of the community. We'll be right back.
I do this for my culture.
Peace and welcome back to For the Culture. Right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in. All right, folks, we've been talking about how a Florida Taco Bell employee was recently fired after she wouldn't serve customer who didn't speak English. This was the case of Miss Alexandria Montgomery when she went to a Taco Bell in Hialeah, Florida, which is has a large Spanish-speaking population. Let's play a little bit of what Miss Alexandria Montgomery had to say, and she recorded the encounter at Taco Bell. Check this out.
Manager here.
Eh?
You don't have a manager here?
En su casa durmiendo.
She tried me not on. She's trying me on purpose. You see this?
Yeah.
Right. Ma'am, so no
house.
Nobody here speak English. Nobody in the back speak English.
No.
So you can't take my order. You won't understand what I'm saying? But you speak something though. Yeah, but I'm wanna order food.
No, hay nadie que hable inglés.
Yo.
Mi vida, tengo carro atrás.
No, I want to order. You not finna tell me to leave and I want to order. Well, the line gonna be held up because I want to order. And you telling me... Well, they won't get their food because I want to order.
That was Alexandria Montgomery in her Facebook encounter. And it's interesting how people just pull out your, just a side note, it's funny that during these certain moments, you ever wonder if it's planned or something, because just pull out the phone and be like, all right, let's go. I'm ordering food at Taco Bell. Like, who figured that that would happen, right? Anyway, the point is, she was denied service. Essentially, the employee was fired from that Taco Bell. Taco Bell certainly, most definitely released a statement saying that it did not meet their customer experience expectations. And essentially, Ms. Montgomery didn't get that chalupa with the special meat. So the question really becomes about tolerance in this country, this us versus them, this whole idea of diversity. Is this something that we have moving from? We're fine to becoming more and more less tolerant of other people if they don't, if we don't agree with them, they don't look like us, if they don't speak our language, or if they don't think or have the same personal politics as we do. Give me a call, 410-319-8888, 410-319-8888. Kevin checked in on our Facebook page and says, quote, this goes to show how the Hispanic sees and treats us. Many blacks will break their neck to support and help causes dear to them. But on the same token, they'll stand on the sidelines and watch and wait until we finish fighting. Then they'll side with whites against us and help ridicule us. We'll wake up one day. Kevin, I hear that. Marcus checked in. They should have let her point to the items on the menu or order by number. Hard thing to do, Marcus, considering she was in the drive-thru. So unless you got a Taco Bell flyer with the numbers on it, that might be hard. But that's ridiculous. Why would you even have to go through all of that? Irene checked in and said, I would not want to eat from anyone who don't want to serve me. They could do anything to my food. Black people need to start bringing back their own businesses or save their money and eat at home. But that special meat, though, Irene, you can't get that at home. Okay, let's go ahead and continue. Virginia checked in and said, I believe this is a blatant case of racist. She simply did not want to serve her. There it is. Now, is it racist or is it prejudice? Or, really importantly, is this a sign of us becoming less tolerant? Let's go back to the lines. 410-319-8888. Derek from Windsor Mills is checking in. Derek, what's your take on it, sir?
Hey, brother. How you doing? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. I hear you loud and clear.
All right. Well, it's unfortunate that that incident happened, but that young lady, yeah, she deserved to be fired. I don't know what her problem was. That was kind of stupid.
Mm-hmm.
But I heard one of the callers say that, hey, we got restaurants in America, so why don't we have English-speaking people? I've been to the 3 states, Florida, mm-hmm. Texas, and California, and I've done business out there for weeks at a time. And I've walked in restaurants, supermarkets, nobody speaking English. I had to pick stuff out on the wall because nobody in there spoke English. Everybody outside in the whole community. So being from the East Coast here in Maryland, Baltimore, it's like it feels kind of strange. I wasn't, disrespected. Everybody treated me with respect and everything. But it just feels weird to be in an area where, especially California, where, everybody speaks Spanish.
Right.
I mean, I was just in California the week after Easter. And I'm sitting in a restaurant with some classmates. and everybody speaking Spanish. I was the only cat up in there that spoke English. Nobody knew what I was saying. I had to get up and point to what I wanted to eat on the wall because they had the menu on the wall.
Wow.
It felt kind of strange, but yes, there are places out here where nobody speaks English. I'm in Houston, same way. I was in Houston and Orlando. I was shocked, but that's just the way it is.
Hey, Dak, what is this a sign of for you? I mean, you're a traveling man, you're a business guy. What does this say to you? Is this an indicator that our culture is becoming less tolerant, or is this a bigger picture looking at this whole idea of diversity and how it's not as a smooth transition that many people think it is?
Oh, wow. Well, I just think, you know, it's like when you go to demographics in different places around the country, it's just like Cubans or whatever, you know, because we all, black people stay together.
Right.
White folks stay together. Hispanic folk, you know, Puerto Ricans, whatever, they all stay together.
Right.
You know, so when you're in certain communities, if you are, because I go, you know, I try to go everywhere and patronize everybody. And you're walking to, I've been places where I just think it's always been like this. This ain't new. It's just thing. I just think it's, we don't get out like we should, or different places and you experience something new.
Yeah.
To be somewhere where you're still in America and everybody's speaking Spanish, I was kind of surprised. I wasn't shocked. But, you know, like the last time when I was in California, to hear the news about everybody building, wanting to build some politics, wanting to build walls and things. And I'm in California, and every street I'm crossing is Spanish name. They got the Spanish built buildings. And I'm like, wait a minute. It's almost like, how can you get rid of this? This is here. I mean, these people have been here.
Yeah, that's what. And see, that's the hard part about it, right? So here's the conundrum we find ourselves in. And Derek, I appreciate you for checking in. Papa Wybe brought checked in on our Facebook page. He said, look, we have to learn how to speak Spanish. I do. We are in America, bro. So, Papa Wybe, I think you bring up a great point on this. I think you bring up something. Because are we at this point now that even Americans, we have to diversify our language portfolio? You know what I'm saying? That we have to diversify our language portfolio. That at this point, we need to be more aware that, guess what? We are not the only ones in this country. And guess what? We aren't the only ones that should just speak one language. Matter of fact, folks, when folks come in across the waters from wherever they are, they come with two languages. They have their native tongue, and then they have to learn English. But us, as those who are born and raised in this, we're only being conditioned to just speak one language. Why not being conditioned to speak two or three languages? Why not make that a requirement? I don't know. We're going to have the conversation. Let's go back to the phone lines to hear what you have to say. 410-319-8888. 410-319-8888. Apache, driving on 695. Apache, thank you for your patience. What's your take on this, sir?
Hey, assalamu alaikum, brother. How you
doing? Walaikum salam.
Yeah, man, I got so much I can say on this issue right here. First and foremost, you know, we always will give, as people, as black people, we keep giving these people credit. You know what I mean? Like just giving them the benefit of the doubt. You know, oh, well, maybe it wasn't, you know, they really didn't understand English. Or, well, maybe we need to adjust. Maybe we need to speak Spanish. You know, we need to do this for the white people, whatever else.
This is not white people, though, Apache.
No, no, it is in general, and let me say why. Huh? You know, not just because Taco Bell was started by a white man, okay, Glenn Bell, all right, that's where the Bell part comes from, you know, but in general, this is what we're looking at. What the last subscriber last caller described in his experiences going to California and Texas and everything, and everybody's Spanish, is another form of racism, of supremacy. It's just being done by Spanish. I lived in California for 10 years. I know exactly what he's talking about. I've been in Taco Bell's before. You can go to Southern Maryland right now, go to Hyattsville, and you'll see where they got restaurants where everybody's in their Spanish. What Spanish people do when they want to be racist and prejudiced, to answer your question, is both, okay, is that they'll hire their own. They'll get a Hispanic manager, and then that Hispanic manager will hire nothing but Hispanics. The next time any of your listeners go to one of these restaurants, look and see and prove me wrong if I'm wrong, okay? They will have nothing but Hispanics, and then when they want to, they will say, okay, well, I don't want to, you know, I want to mess with this person. I want to, you know, express some sort of racism to this person. And that's what it was. It was racism, okay? Taco Bell's application for IG, you can download it.
Yeah.
All right? It's in English.
Yeah.
All right? It talks about customer service skills. It talks about everything else. You know, what's it more important, product or customer? It has those kind of questions in the English-speaking application. The girl, I speak a little Spanish. I like to see the video myself so I can try to understand what she was saying. But she's basically speaking gibberish. You know, something about her life is 29 or something like that. You know, like, you know, vente nueve. You know, she knew the girl didn't speak Spanish, you know. So she just was trying to frustrate her. And what I think happened is she pulled up to the, what happened to me and probably what happened to a lot of these listeners, you pull up to the microphone, you say, I'd like to take a number two or a T12 or whatever the case might be. You can't understand what the person is saying back to you. You get frustrated, and you're like, oh, my God, don't you speak English? As soon as you say words like that, those little buzzwords, then the Hispanic person goes into Viva La Raza, okay? That's their little buzzword, Viva La Raza, and, you know, the race, and then they start being racismo, which means racist.
Wait a minute. Hold on, Apache. Now, I'm not discrediting your experience, and I'm not saying that you, but at the same time, I don't want us to promote any level of stereotypes or biases, because guess what? Not all Spanish-speaking people may have that same sentiment, right? Of course, they got a small population, and I think we've all been touched by the evils of white supremacy in this country, right? So, you know, those who are coming over, they're coming over to a cultural shock just as much as seeing black people on two legs and working and taking care of their children.
Pardon you, no, they're not. They're coming into a...
So they come in. They come in here to make this what?
They're coming in because, one, they think that California, Texas, New Mexico is some kind of way belongs to Mexico, which it don't, all right? That belongs to the Native Americans that lived in those areas. It was never Mexico, all right? And then two, they're coming over here in a support system the same way the white immigrants that came from Europe came into a support system that established their racism. They're coming into the same type of support system, and they're refining it. The reason why you go to anywhere in Baltimore, one of their local little Korean stores to get Chinese food, which is really not Chinese, they're Cambodian, if you ask them, all right? The cooks in the back are Hispanics. Why? Because it's a support system, all right, that enforces the racism. So you can go into these towns, and suddenly everybody speaks Spanish. And La Renta, you know, the place for rent, is in Spanish, so you don't even know it's for rent. And all, you know, necesito ayuda, you know, I need help, you know, for it don't say, you know, help wanted, it says it in Spanish. It's a support system that they do that's based on, one caller said, it's based on economics. You know, it's based on trying to make their own people progress more. And, hey, I don't blame them. You know, do what they do.
Right.
What I blame is if we don't research this, if we just take it like you just now said, not, no strike against you, but if we just take it like, oh, well, look, they're just poor immigrants.
No, I'm not saying, no. I'm not saying they're poor immigrants at all. Matter of fact, and I'm going to have to let you go, Apache, because I appreciate you, but this is not poor immigrants. Let's get this very straight. Hispanics and those who are part of the Spanish-speaking community in this country are far from poor immigrants. Matter of fact, folks, let me throw out some numbers for you so you can understand how serious of a situation this is. According to the U.S. Census, 57.5 million people in this country are a part of the Hispanic population of the United States of America, making the people of Hispanic origin the nation's largest ethnic or racial minority. Hispanics constitute nearly 18% of the nation's total population. Guess how many black people, how many folks are for black people? According to the numbers, we're still about 14%. Yeah. So you have those who are part of the Hispanic community that are more than those of us in the black community. That's serious. And so that's why when we have conversations about race, politics, education, the conversation tends to incline towards those of our brothers and sisters in the Hispanic community, because guess what? Numbers. Numbers matters in this case, folks. Men lie, women lie, but guess what? Don't lie. Numbers. All right, let's go back to the line. Leo from Bolton Hill. Leo, what's your take on this? Is this an issue of a tolerance, or does America, as we as Americans, need to step up our game to become more diverse in our language and in our understanding?
Well, brother Faraji Muhammad, how are you today?
I'm good, Leo. How are
you? Great. I, well, it's always a great issue. The firing of that Taco Bell employee was very much in order. The management, the franchisee, whomever, they know that that woman was wrong in the way in which she treated the black woman who was there for service.
Yep.
The municipality licenses Taco Bell and other places of public accommodation to serve the general public, which means they have to have multilingual capability when they serve the public. They know that some people speak Spanish, some speak English, and some speak whatever they speak, but they have to have that. So the fact that this woman was fired was very much in order and appropriate. The bottom line is that if you're licensed, and we fought this fight in the 60s because I was very much a part of the Freedom Riders and sit-in demonstrators fighting to open up places of public accommodation to people of African ancestry, to black people and black Americans. So, you know, the bottom line is you cannot disenfranchise other people. I think it's always a good idea to promote bilingual education and the capability of everybody to speak more than one language. But the reality is that many of the Spanish people adopt the same culture, mores, concepts, and prejudicial attitudes of white people who many of them support and embrace. No, I'm not stereotyping Spanish Americans or Hispanic. Some of them are more liberal than others. Some of them, like the Cubans, they're Cuban Americans. You know, if they're down in Miami, they hated Castro, and they were the white people, the white Cubans, as it were. And so there's a lot of diversity. But no, the preponderance of evidence in this case is that they were acting in a prejudicial way, namely the franchisee was acting against the law, and consequently she was fired for abuse of authority in that regard. You can't take public money and use it in a discriminatory fashion in the licensing power that you are provided with by the city, state, and or federal government.
Absolutely. Leo Barrows, thank you so much for checking in. Always good to hear from you as we have these conversations. Let's go to William out of Baltimore. William, what's your take on this?
Peace, Black. What's up?
I'm peace, William. How you doing, bro?
I guess this is a situation where I had spoken to you about what could we do to, you know, we had this show about what can blacks do. It was always about some what can blacks do to get themselves together. And I said, we got to be human again, right?
Yep.
So the girl getting fired, that's what's up. Because if you at work and your professionalism is subpar, then you can either get written up or fired. But Farad, you went to Morgan State, right?
No, I actually went to Towson.
Towson, okay. Yeah. Well, you went to school, I wanted to say.
Yeah, absolutely. Education.
I went to school, and there were people that spoke at least two languages. I went to school. I played ball with cats that spoke Spanish.
Right.
Let's not forget our Afro-Cuban brothers and sisters.
There we go.
All right?
Yep, tonight.
Hey, Farad, hold on.
Go ahead.
Tonight, Fiesta Musical with Guillermo taking over for Jose Ruiz. Let's not forget that.
Right.
And if you listen to that show, they big up African music all the time.
Right.
So you got Chinese don't like Japanese. Portuguese don't like Spaniards.
Come on.
Farad, the Negro barely speak English, man. No, that's not a joke.
Come on, man. No, I'm here. I'm hearing you loud and clear, bro. Go ahead.
The ability to functionally communicate your thoughts through a said language gives you the power to establish yourself seen, unseen, mentally, physically, economically, socially, and educationally. Subpar students get subpar outcomes. You ever been around a Latino person and they trying to speak English and you laugh and you work with them and you talk, you're like, all right, come on, and you talk and you communicate and it's a good exchange. You ever been, well, my man, one of my brothers, he speaks Spanish fluently. And when you know a little bit of their language, it's like flattering. It's like tipping your hat.
Right.
Chocó in Colombia.
Right.
Is an Afro-Cuban city.
Come on.
So, again, the Negro got to get better grades in school. The cesspool of society with attitudes in school. Ain't nothing wrong with the school, the curriculum or what have you. Parenting, civility, humanity, Latin is the language they put it under.
Right.
English come after that, Farrar.
Yep. Yep.
The Romance languages. Diba, daba, doba, diba, day ain't nothing real, Black. We walking around in a cusp of the 22nd century sounding like extras from Gone with the Wind. That's why we can't communicate with each other. Nobody want to talk with somebody who scrambled. And on that, Black, I'm ready to drop the little ones off for practice. But you do your job, Black.
Hey,
man,
brother. Hey, William, I appreciate you so much right now for raising up and bigging up that connection and that relationship. And that's something that we need to keep at the forefront of our minds, because I know that, look, folks, when I remember when the whole Freddie Gray situation went down, right, and I had an opportunity to be a part of the BET. They had a special on police brutality, and they filmed it in New York City. And I got to the studio. I was one of the panelists on the stage, and, you know, I'm sitting there. I'm thinking about all that just happened here in Baltimore. I'm up in New York City. I'm on stage about to start this BET special, right? But I see a huge number of the audience members from the Hispanic community out of New York City, right? And so when the panelists are talking about, you know, Black people and police officers, it dawned on me. At that moment, it was like, wait a minute, the struggle between Blacks and police officer is similar to the struggle of what Latinos and Hispanic folks, they go through with police officers. And I remember, like, this was never seen. This was like off camera. In a moment of inspiration and passion, I talked about that struggle. I stood up and I made the point that when we look at the struggle of Hispanic brothers and sisters, and you look at the struggle of Latinos and Black people, we have a similar struggle here in this country, right? When it comes to certain things. And so it would be foolish for us to even have a conversation about police brutality without including those who are part of those particular communities outside of the Black community. And so at this point, we have to... Are we going to continue? And I'm not saying that every one of you is speaking like this, but I want us to think out of it, because there is still this separation, us versus them mentality. But it would be foolish for us to have this conversation if we don't understand the relationship, historical, traditional relationship between the Black and the Brown. And more importantly, if we look at what's happening in this country, where you have a president who seems to devalue historical relationships, right? Who wants to literally build a wall between people and not understanding the value of it. This is not getting into immigration. I'm talking about understanding people, and I'm talking about being respectful of culture. And that's what I'm saying from this. This is an ugly situation. It's small, but it's big at the same time. So we have to keep those things in mind. Let's go back to the line, see what you got to say. 410-319-8888. So many of you want to chime in. Omar from Baltimore, what's your take?
Yes, sir. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Roger, how are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
Very well. I've called a couple of times, but I wanted to make some points. First, I want to preface what I have to say with some things that you brought up indirectly. Namely, the U.S. Census in the past, and even institutions like NIH, used to make a distinction, or did make a distinction, between white Spaniards. Spaniards coming from Spain were to be classified in one way. And Latinos, it was acknowledged, might have many different ancestries. And so this is why I don't use the word Hispanic, because Hispanic means Spanish-speaking. Now, what's very interesting is that there are situations where you have white Spaniards from Spain passing as Latinos. Now, there are white Latinos, by which I mean there are people in South America, Cuba, different places, who are phenotypically white. They may or may not have some African ancestry. However, if you look in the genetic papers, in the genetics journals, you will discover that there are that most Latinos, even in places like Mexico, places that you don't normally think of, where you don't see necessarily a lot of people who are phenotypically West African, although there are some in every country, but you have people who have remote African ancestry. In other words, if you started using molecular criteria to determine group classifications, all these people by South Carolina definition would be black.
Okay, so now
let me just get that off the table as a fundamental thing. So, in a, just as you wanted to talk about making connections between people, I got into a discussion with Jorge Ramos before he was so famous on Univision at a bookstore in Alexandria about 20 years ago. And my Spanish is not good, but I was good enough to understand what he was saying. And I stood up, I said, look, I said in Spanish, I apologize first for not being able to speak Spanish. But I said, you know what? We have something in common. And he said, you mean, oh, yes, the struggle, the prejudice against us? I said, no. And then he went through a series of things like this. He said, you mean because we all have some connections to Africa, either in our culture and our blood? I said, yes.
Yeah, it is.
That's the connection that I want to bring to the forefront and even politicize, if you will.
Omar, go ahead real quick. I got like 30 seconds.
Okay, so there's a difference between being an Afro-descendant in varying degrees and having an Afro-identity.
Yeah.
Okay, so some Latin Americans will give themselves an Afro-identity. Many others who have some African ancestry will not, don't necessarily call themselves this or that. But you may have a white Cuban who is practicing Santeria, which is an African religion derived from Yoruba religion. He may be a white. So you go down to Miami and say, I want to meet the Babalawo, the Yoruba priest. And some white guy comes out, or white to your eyes, white to our eyes.
Yeah.
You know, or he may even be all white. But he's practicing, he's doing an African practice. The last thing I want to say, just let me say this. This thing, as many people have said, we have always had ethnic communities in this country where you have people, whether it's Slavic town in Cleveland, Little Italy in different places, Greek town in different places, where you have people who immigrated here and their whole lives they never learned how to speak English. The difference was is that Afro-Americans in general did not go into those communities, and unfortunately in places like Cleveland, we were explicitly told, even in the student manuals of certain universities, do not go into Little Italy unless you're going with somebody from Little Italy.
Okay? I got to stop you right there, Omar. You're bringing up some valid points. Valid points. Look, we're going to take another pause, but I want to get to my new callers. So Kim, Marion, Akin, Char, Derek, please, if you can, please hold on. We're going to continue this conversation in the next hour. I got to hear this because, this is a small situation, but it has big implications if we don't have a real conversation about this issue of tolerance, about diversity, about history, right? Because this can kind of be seen as a moment where people might say, you know what, that's why I don't bang with them, don't deal with them, and blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, the tolerance in this country has to change. We're less tolerant now. Remember yesterday I mentioned that Betsy DeVos, education secretary, said we have abandoned truth. We have abandoned tolerance in this country. We really have. And the sad part about it is, as much as we extol those great virtues to our children, we don't make an effort to try to bridge the gap. We don't make an effort to try to understand on all levels. We're going to continue the conversation. Stay riding with me. Whole lot coming up in the next hour for the culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA. Now let's check in with NPR with your latest in news and traffic. We'll be right back.